Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, and welcome to Discheads, an amateur disc golf podcast here on YouTube and Podbean. I'm your co-host, Lee. Sitting across my table is my good friend Ben, as one of the co-hosts. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am fantastic, matey. Thank you for asking. It's made me sound like an AI. And then the main man...
I purposely said that so that Dan can't say it.
Oh, that's true. Fair play. Fair.
I wasn't even listening.
I love it.
I was concentrating on this. So.
We've got the topics and we've already broken...
I've been waiting weeks for this.
I know, eh? And the main man behind this podcast, Dan, how you doing, bud?
Mate, how about you?
Mate, fair play. Well, yeah, it's episode 18, The Expendables. Yeah, what are we going to talk about today? I'm quite intrigued by this because... I know when we went round our round, you were like, we're going to go into some of these topics cold. So we have not a clue what's going down in Chinatown today. So yeah. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about rearranging your bag.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the mental game of disc golf.
Cool.
We're going to talk about a subject that I've entitled The Expendables.
Yep.
We've got a beginner tip. We've got the disc of the week.
We do.
And we've got a new segment which needs an either equally or better catchy theme. Of the dodgy rules.
Oh, the dodgy rules.
Yeah. But okay. Firstly, quick fire. So I don't mean to spend.
Present, yeah, yeah.
I don't mean to spend ages thinking about your answer. Just
okay.
Very quick fire.
Okay.
Favorite name on a disc.
Ooh, Sensei.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just because it's our disc. I think it's a good disc.
Cool,
it is a cool name. It's not as cool as the other one, which we can't get rights for. But I think the Mogwai is a cool name for a putter.
Well, hold on to that.
Okay. So, what's yours then, Dan? I'm curious.
Mine's actually the Magician. I don't know the Magician. I just think that's a really cool name for a disc.
It was.
It's a bit of a shit disc.
No, it was all right until I threw it in a river or a lake or whatever we want to call it. A ravine.
I wish I still had it. I think now it'd be really good in my bag.
Yeah,
I kind of had its predecessor. Well, I have two of its predecessors in my bag.
Because it's a 6-speed, isn't it?
It is.
I think it would be pretty good in my bag now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool disc name.
It is a cool name. And the artwork's cool as well.
If you had to name one disc, what would it be?
Mogwai. Simple.
El Diablo.
El Diablo. That's a good name.
Mine would be Mr. Bump.
Mine would be a putter. What would yours be?
Fairway
driver, okay.
I'm gonna be a banger rip off.
Just a straight up ripper.
Straight up a rip off.
I love it. I love it. It's like a couple of millimeters off from legal copyright. That's exactly what it is.
And if you had to do a theme for a set, either a 3-set or a 4-set,
what? Just the theme for what the discs are?
Yeah, like so. Bish bash bosh.
Oh, okay.
I've got it.
Okay.
Talladega Nights theme.
Right.
Yes.
El Diablo, Magic Man, and Shake and Bake.
Brilliant. Love that.
Yeah, video game related. Or do Metal Gear Solid ripoff. Just basically go Liquid, Solid, Solidus. Solidus. Big Boss. Big Boss, that's it. Big Boss, Liquid, and Solid. That would be it. There we go, Solid. Big Boss, obviously the driver. Yeah. Liquid. I would say mid-range because it's cool. And then solid putter. There we go. Done.
I'd go something you spoke about the other day, which is like 100% a solid order. Batman villains.
Oh, mate, you so would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. That'd be sick.
I was thinking about this as well. If I had to pick three, as much as I think whenever the Joker pops up, I'm like, oh, well, the Joker and everything, you got to have a disc called the Joker. The Riddler and the Penguin.
Okay.
I'd go Two-Face.
Oh
yeah, that's your one. You know, obviously,
Two-Face different.
Yeah.
See, I also think a approach putt of Freeze would be pretty cool. Like a Mr. Freeze like approach putt.
Oh yeah, you could just keep going.
Could literally go on like Clayface. Oh mate, yeah, you could name your
Poison
best
Ivy, Harley Quinn. Like
your main driver's Bane, just because it's all ripped up. Mate, you could do so much. Oh, that was a good like. What are we calling that segment, mate?
Quickfire.
There we go. Yeah. Sweet, we'll make a little jingle for that as well now. Yeah, done.
Just wanted your quick fire thoughts on some stuff.
Nice.
So dodgy rules.
A dodgy rule, you say?
Yay.
Dodgy rules.
Dodgy.
Dodgy rules.
We'll just make our own thing.
I just think it's dodgy.
So we spoke about this.
Okay.
And this is where the dodgy rule segment came from, because obviously last cast we started with dodgy rules on.
If you hit someone and it bounces off them.
Yeah, well, if a dog picks up your disc and etc.
Well, yeah, okay.
So quite often, I say quite often, occasionally we will throw a Mando and the tree would have like a Y and the disc may go through that Y. So essentially it's gone through the Mando stick.
100%.
Has that made or failed a Mando?
It's got to have made it, surely.
Well.
Oh, here we go. Because I want a clarification.
Side of it, then you've gone through it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious.
But
yeah.
Again, I suppose the argument would be if you hit the ground on one side of it and rolled round, you threw the Mando.
I'm intrigued
by
this.
There's got to be a point somewhere.
Because if you're going for a trunk and you go through the branches on one side of the tree, you're fine if it's going through the Mando then. But I guess if it's the branches the other side of the Mando, it's a no-no. I don't know. I'm intrigued to know because if you go through the tree...
If it's a branch, we're not talking about branches, we're talking about actually the trunk separating into two separate
parts. Yeah, okay, so a complete Y. So a Y, okay.
So...
I want to know the rule now. I'm intrigued.
PDGA.
Okay.
A mandatory route restricts the path that the disc can take to the target. It is a vertical plane whose boundaries are clearly marked by one or more mandatory objects like trees or posts, as well as other markers like painted lines. So that was all really, really clear, because despite the fact that PDGA lots go into great detail on any other rule, apparently the Mando rule, that's the paragraph you get and figure it out for yourself, boys. But there's plenty of discussions around Mandos. So previous editions of the rule book included a clause to define the direction of the restricted space. If the tournament director had not explicitly marked it. So under the current rules, however, the direction the restricted space extends from a mandatory object must be defined and marked by the tournament director using a painted line, string, or other marker.
Okay.
So two markers that tell you that's the line of the Mando. So if you breach that line, then you breach the Mando. We still have the problem with the trees. So,
okay.
Benny's actually right. According to all discussions from people that know a bit more about disc golf than we do, you play a Mando, so anything that's outside of the Mando is fail.
Right.
So if you were to hang a piece of paper from the tree and it penetrated the paper, that would be failing the Mando.
Failing the Mando, okay.
So in that case, you would not be able to hang the paper from the centre of the tree because the tree branches out.
Okay.
Thus, you wouldn't penetrate the paper and you'd make the Mando.
Okay.
If you went around the tree and came back in, you'd have failed the Mando.
Yes.
Ooh. Okay. Dodgy rules.
That removes that option.
However, dodgy rules. I didn't think that rule was dodgy enough because end of the day it was kind of a common sense thing, but we just wanted to make sure. But it was a bit dodgy because it's not clear.
Dodgier rules.
So, dodgy rules.
A dodgy rule, you say?
Confirmed application of the new mandatories ruled in according to the PDGA Rules Committee.
Okay.
All right. So we've never played a Mando that's been close to the basket. But,
heck no.
But on any successive throw, a disc can still miss the Mando by having any part of the disc enter the restricted space. For example, a disc passed the correct side of the Mando without touching any part of the restricted space and came to rest just outside circle two. The next throw of the discs hits the cage, rebounds, and rolls back toward the Mando and pass through the restricted space. That throw is now considered to have missed the Mando.
That's a big, big middle finger there. That's brutal. That's brutal. Yeah, we've only had one roll, really, on the camera.
Essentially for us, hole 8 of Bedworth, if you made the Mando and it got dipped into the left and your next throw, for whatever reason, wasn't around the trees and into the basket line, it was going to go back into the tree line, and you smashed off the first set of trees and it rolled out past the Mando line, you've missed the Mando.
Oh, that's brutal. That is a bit brutal.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
And a bit of a dodgy rule.
Yeah, dodgy rules. A bit dodge.
Because you would have thought that once you made the Mando, you made the Mando.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Oh. Well, we had that recently on, I want to say Waco. Yeah, I think it was Waco. Nicholas Antela, I want to say. froze for Dismania. Dismania are doing really well, boys. Just going to give you a heads up there. He threw a shot that rolled out of bounds and then rolled back in and stayed. And it was like, thank God it rolled back in because he got into a circle two putt. But everyone was like, oh, that's going out. And then it rolled back in and they were just like, lucky, lucky, lucky guy. But it's been good, the Pro Tour. You know, my boy, Gannon Burr, has won the last two. And then the first one was Anthony Barella. So all this, you know, the guys who are going to be the next generation, like, talent for the disc golf Pro Tour or whatever. It's going pretty well.
Winning.
Yeah, it's really good. Winning. Last couple of tournaments have been really, really good. My guys I love cheering on have been playing really, really well. So I can smile.
That's been Dodgy Rules.
Dodgy Rules. Dodgy Rules.
Rearranging your bag.
Yes.
So quite often we will buy a new disc that fits the same sort of purpose of a disc in our bag, might do it better, and we get rid of a disc. Obviously, we don't just throw it into the abyss. Then discs that we get rid of and we put to a side occasionally make it back into our bag. And we play with discs that we haven't played with for a while. Ben's the big one for this, always testing new discs and stuff.
It's like the Swiss Army knife of our group. I feel, because you have so many putters in mid-range.
You guys rely on Old Faithfuls too much.
Well, the reason I brought this segment in is I've recently had a bit of a rearrange in my back. Yeah, there's some Old Faithfuls in there, but there's quite a lot of...
Are you leaning into the newer stuff?
Yeah.
Fair. So what's come out then? I'm really intrigued by what you've taken out, because I know what I've taken out multiple times and it's still not in there.
Yeah, so I've taken the lots out.
Okay.
That's a big removal.
A mistake.
Yeah, you've been throwing that well.
The lots has come out because the Undertaker does the same job but Bell.
Okay.
And it's the name. And Dan has a wrestling background and he loves it.
Same speed?
Not sure.
Speed 9, I think the Undertaker is.
Yeah.
It's a 9 or a 10. Sorry, it's up there. It's a good disc. Okay.
What else has come out? The Buzz has come out.
The Buzz has finally come out of your bag.
So, the Buzz came out, then went back in.
Okay.
And it's come back out again.
Okay.
The truth is doing what the Buzz does, but better.
Fair. Okay. Yeah, that's reasonable, I would say. Yeah, you've been throwing that disc quite well.
The truth flies straight for me. If anything, I put too much on the truth.
Yeah.
And
that's
just
interesting. He can't handle the truth.
But yeah, it's just... It's something I've always found quite interesting with disc golf that you never really did with another sport. Like, I never had Predators and then Nikes kicking around just in case I didn't want to wear Predators on a
Fine.
Sunday.
You're talking about football boots, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I imagine it's the same with like, golf clubs. You don't have a spare set of golf clubs at home in case you want to not have a bit
of... Right. That varies. It varies, I think, with the person. If you're living on your own, 100%. But like, I grew up obviously with my dad and my brother, so we would like bag swap a lot of things now and then, and see if it works. And then obviously, if dad got a new set, we'd have a spare set hanging around, and then it'd be like a hand-me-down, or like, is this
pick
good?
And mix
or
sort of thing.
Yeah, a pick and mix. Like, I can hit this iron really well, so I'll use that. Or it's like they're not good. Let's trade them in to get other clubs and whatever. So it was always kind of like a thing
I think
like
it's
that.
Sport related, isn't it? If you've got something where you use multiple tools, then. I suppose you will be swapping them in and out.
Because it's the same with, I would say, normal golf as well. You're always
a lot
swapping.
Of sports where it's one set of kit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like normal golf, it's like I've had my clubs now for like 5 years. I know I need new irons, but I don't play it enough to validate spending between £200 and £300 on decent irons. There's no need. I don't play it enough, so there's no point having that investment. Should I spend £200, £300 on disc golf? Because I play it a ton. Maybe.
Probably not,
though.
But not that much.
That's a lot of discs.
That's a lot of discs.
That's like another two bags.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. You won't need it unless you're going to go get every signature disc and get certain, you know, do what the pros do and have like, why have you got 5 mid-ranges and all these other ones? Well, it's the same one, but it's just this different plastic and this because it flies this.
Some of us are already doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the three of us have... I'll say Richard's at this stage now as well, but the three of us are definitely way past the stage of having a bag and a half.
Yeah.
And each Sunday you can't take, I couldn't take every single disc, but.
I think I take all of mine, but my bag swapping is, some of it just stays in there.
Yeah, I've took mine out. Well, mine,
that's just a storage thing. It all just lives in there because there's enough room for it to all live in there.
Yeah.
But I don't take them out and use them.
Yes, you haven't got enough space in my bag for all my discs.
No, I've got my small...
I haven't had any new discs in a really long time.
Yeah.
I think the last one was the Nova.
Oh, wow. That was a little while.
It is a while back, that is. That was day of Bergmasters. You got the Nova?
Yeah.
Go watch Bergmasters, guys. Link in the description.
It's that long ago. I've not had a new one since then.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like I need a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll find a good bag in a minute.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, dude.
I just need to put more work in with that.
I do like your bag.
But you've been rearranging your bag a bit.
Constantly.
Yeah.
I feel like you're kind of... I think your bag, Ben, you have so many discs that are so good at their jobs, it's just trying to figure out which one is the right one. Yeah. Because I think your approach in putting is so many good discs, it's kind of like, what do I try out, you know?
That's where it gets me sometimes.
Yeah.
But what makes you make that decision? Like when, so you got a disc that you keep at home, right? That you haven't bagged for a while.
Yep. I think I've got two in the top of my head now. Yeah,
I've gone.
DD3, Destroyer.
So what stops you taking the DD3 out?
Well, I...
Premium Maestro, because you don't like it.
Oh, I hate it. I hate the Premium Maestro.
Zero
was awful. Pardon my French.
There's loads of discs that you literally do not throw.
Yeah.
You like the DD3.
I love the DD3, but the problem is I don't have the arm speed to actually get what... out of the disc what it should do. It's just too fast. I think I've got to generate enough speed, and that's where the Mamba fits perfectly at the moment. I've been throwing that really well.
It's
and that's
11, isn't it?
It is 11, and the DD3 is 12, so I know I can, if I can get throwing, you know, the Mamba well, I can then go, well, I can start trying the DD3. I can try that out. I don't mind that, but I'd rather just get comfortable with that drive and then start going, let's add a little bit more va-va-voom onto that, because I feel like I think my comfortable speeds are between 7, 8 and 9, definitely. And then the higher the speed, it gets kind of scarier. Like, it gets a bit more, don't do this, don't do that.
Apart from maybe Richard, I don't think anybody's at a stage where our big number discs are massively outweighing our lower number discs in the driver category.
No.
My biggest number that... I mean, I've got 11s and 12s, but I don't take them out.
I've got a 12. I never throw it.
Yeah. So the biggest numbers that I've
purchased.
Yeah. The biggest.
Was that the Zeus? Yeah. That artwork is sick. Hades, oh, the Hades. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, the Hades is pretty sick.
Yeah, because Zeus is 11.
You've got the Zeus.
Yeah.
I've got the Hades, which is badass, but never gets thrown.
Yeah. See, the highest I've got that I throw is 10. I've got 3 10s that I throw.
Yeah, I've got.
That's
10s.
Interesting. I've got 3 9s. 4. No, 3 9s. Yeah.
I'll throw 9s.
Yeah.
Nine's my highest.
I think 9 is my highest.
See, I think I've got a decent mix at the minute. I've got 3 10s in my bag, 3 9s, let's say 2 9s, 3 7s, a couple of 8s.
Yeah.
The only 10 I actually throw isn't for driving.
No.
Hellfire or Avenger. You haven't thrown the Avenger in a while.
Don't know where that is.
That's the honest reason why. I'm not so sure where it lives.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's somewhere.
It's a good
disc. It is a good disc. That kid found it for you that one time.
Yeah.
But now he's throwing the lots really well. That's his driver. His lots is pretty good. No, I think all of us change a little bit. I know I went through a putting woe recently, and I'm comfortable with either the Sensei or the Banger GT. I'm very comfortable.
I've taken a lot of putters out of my bag.
Yeah?
You've got a lot. You're like me. Yeah. You've got on a putters.
Yeah. So now I'm just bagging two bangers, the Nova.
Yeah.
And that's it, putter.
Yeah, because I feel like...
I've got a Berg in there, but that's not a putter.
Yeah, it's more of an approach, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that, because that new Jawbreaker is very nice from distance. I feel like you and Rich have kind of gone the same, haven't you? You kind of have the similar-ish, like, with the putters, you've got same putters-esque, but one's a bit more... glidier or therma, isn't it? Because I know Rich has got the Ruru, which is that hard plastic, and the other one, which is the blue one, which I forget which he uses. So it's trying to figure out the distance. But you drained one with a new Jawbreaker on our round the other day. That was sick. Literally the biggest pop-off of that round.
So whilst we're talking about discs in that bag.
Yes.
Disc of the week.
Okay.
Disc of the week.
I'm going to go boring because I've kind of covered all my discs. I haven't got anything like new and shiny or sexy. I'm just going to go CD1. Because finally figured out, even though it says it's a distance driver, it's kind of a more, for me at the moment, how I'm throwing it, is a beefier rock star, and I like it. I like it a lot. It's very, very good. It's reliable. Had an amazing shot in Bedworth when we had a round with it, which, and also because I doodled like Crash Bandicoot on it, it looks really cool. I really rate the CD1, but it's, again, it's in that number slot where we've mentioned it a few times on this podcast, where it's in a category where you don't, there's so many other big name discs there, it's like not going to be for everyone, so it might not be for you, but it's great for me because I love my Skidmark plastic.
Okay, numbers?
9502, I want to say. Go on, Rayman. Say if I'm right on 9502, I think.
95-12.
Oh, I was off by one. That's fine. No, I like it. It's good. It's for me at the moment, it's like a nice 3-wood, and it's like, if I know I need something to throw a bit further than the Rockstar, I choose that currently. It's between that and the Vandal at the moment, so it's kind of figuring that out because I want the Mamba to be my driver, so I want to kind of get used to that high speed again, just be comfortable. But yeah, CD1, I'd recommend it. It's not for everyone, but hey, you know, I love it. It's good.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm going Valkyrie Champion.
So
I've done the Valkyrie before. It's 9-4-2-2.
Yep.
And the reason I'm doing the Champion is because it is a different disc. It really is.
Because you got it in basic plastic, right?
Yeah, I got the DX. Glow.
Glow.
And whereas the Glow DX feels like, I mean, it's DX plastic. It feels like it cut a bone in half.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, it's a very solid plastic.
Solid.
Love it. Absolutely love the DX plastic.
100%. Break it down.
I was a bit. Champion plastic's good, and you know, you and Richard loved your Champion plastic.
Yeah, you do love that type of plastic.
So I thought we'd give it a shot. It's not the same disc. It has the Valkyrie I can throw pretty much straight.
Yep.
The Champion I have to put a bit to the right on it because it's going to hook left.
Okay.
However, what a disc. It's just, you don't have to really put that much effort into it and it will grab a line.
Yep.
It's not going to cover a distance. It's not got the big glide like, you know, some of my other discs like the River and stuff where, you know, it just pick up a glide. If you don't put the effort in, it's not going to cover the distance, but it's going to grab a line.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing. Because no matter what you do, late release, early release, slow release, it's going to grab a line and take you more than... Because some discs we throw, and when you up, you're 4 foot in front of you having a little cry.
Yeah, you are, yeah.
And there's other discs, like the Valkyrie Champion, that once you release, you know it's going to hold a line. It might not be a good line.
Yeah. What line will it be today?
If it's going somewhere.
Yeah, I feel like I had that with the Maestro, because I changed the plastic, because the active line I really like, but then the premium I hated. It just didn't fly the same as the other Maestro. But they are different. Plastics make a huge difference.
Your Sensei and my Glow Sensei, they're different.
Oh, yeah. Very different.
Yeah. Gonna bed.
They don't even look the same.
No, they don't. It's mad. Numbers mean nothing. Whee! Yes.
Love it.
But my river's very different to your rivers.
Very different.
Yeah, yours is like
real good though.
Like a freaking gummy bear. It's great.
You're throwing it brilliantly.
River's banging.
Yeah.
Like with you, I've always noticed that it takes you a little while to get hold of a disc before you get confident enough to like really rip it. With a river, you was ripping it almost straight away and just throwing big boys.
Because it's like it's not the leopard at all, but it's in that ballpark.
Yeah, it just has the. It just goes, and that's why it's called the river. It just keeps going and going and going. If you get it right, it just goes.
My river's light as
it's seven. No, is it seven glide?
I think it's seven.
It's seven speed.
Seven? Yeah,
I want seven speed, seven glide.
I want to say 0-1.
I want to say 0-2.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I left mine on a freaking car, like in the park, because I'm a really smart guy. Whoever's throwing that around right now. You're welcome. But I'm really annoyed because I really want to get another river because I did enjoy that 7-speed. I was getting it down.
Oh, I followed really my river, I'll be buying one on the way home.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a 7-7 minus 1-1.
Ooh. We are both wrong. We got two of the numbers right. Almost like the lottery. But no, yeah, I really like the river when I had it. You're throwing it really well, but it's like that. What's the type of plastic it is?
Opti or something.
Yeah, it's like super gummy compared to what we had. Well, I had, and I Dan, like you still
yours.
Have.
I tried to throw yours. I don't like it.
Yeah,
we've actually got the more premium plastic.
Yeah,
it's Latitude, ain't it?
Yeah.
So Ben's got not the baseline, the next one up, and we've got the next one up from that, but we've not got Royal Grand.
No, we haven't got Royal Grand. There's so many other types of plastic. Go listen to that podcast.
Yeah, Latitude takes the piss.
That podcast where we broke down plastics is still hilarious. It's just like, how many other plastics have they got? Well, 12 different molds, and we're like, what the flump does that mean? And
then you want to hear a podcast that's not as good as this, because we've learned plenty of things about a really complex subject that we know nothing about. Go back a few episodes.
Go back a few episodes and plastic. Mr. Bomb Plastic, weren't it? We talked about it. I think it was called.
Mr. Bombastic. We order some bombastic.
Yeah. No, you're throwing that well. It's a good disc. The internet never lies.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Mental game.
Ugh.
So, like I was saying to you pre-cast, in a previous podcast, we've spoke about the mental preparation that we take to take shots.
Yep.
So this isn't that. This is how silly things can get into your head. So the example that I gave you earlier was, if you're 5 foot away from the basket and you're making a putt that you make all day, every day, but the wind's high, you might f*** that putt, not because the wind blows it away, but because the wind's in your head.
Yeah.
Or okay. My personal favourite is making a drive and seeing someone so far in the distance that you're never going to drive and hit them, but it puts you off so much.
Yeah.
That you have a really bad drive.
You have a really bad drive.
I've got a good one. When you've made a really good shot on that hole / in the position you're in before.
Yeah.
You think you can instantly replicate it.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
you don't. And you're like, well, that was
shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not something that we're at a level where we're like, we can just do this again.
Mm.
Yeah. But the worst for me for that is that, like hole 10, for example, right? I throw hole 10 well, which I do most of the time. I throw a really good hole 10. It ducks under the trees. It goes past them two and leaves me nice in the clear. Whenever someone's watching, something goes off in my head and goes,
Do that again.
Do that again. Never do it again. If
mine at the minute is the big Toro putt from over the bunker on hole 9.
Yeah.
The one that was way back. Every time I'm in that position, I'm like, I can do that.
And I got my Toro.
End up in the bunker. No, I do try and do it something else.
Not always.
End up in the bunker. I'm like, I've done this before. Like, yeah. Or that's when like I go towards the basket and then it massively veers off and I'm making another massive putt from the other end of the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I try and replicate that, it's like shooting off and putting me way off again.
I feel for me, it's like trying to get cute with it is my biggest mistake. Like, I'm like, my approach with Bergs sometimes is solid, and then some are just really and then immediately I always go, why am I getting fancy with it? Why am I getting cute with it? Throw it how you should have thrown it, you prat. Like, why are you like, just throw it normal instead of like, la-da, oh, I can do that immediately. No, just, yeah, that's my... I think replication of shots is like my biggest worry of just going, I got this. And then you just, as soon as you let it go, you're like, oh, that was awful. Like when it was windy and that bird just went sideways. It literally went from being straight to sideways and just, was mad.
You missed that, right? So our first practice drives.
Jesus.
Put us off actually playing the game. If we didn't have to drive so far, we may have just turned around and went, no.
You know where? What's
throwing them?
T-pad 7.
Wind was going, whoop, no, I'll have some of that. And just putting them sideways, pushing them right to the right.
T-pad 7, they weren't landing there.
Right.
It was that windy at points. And we were like, we're not going to hit anyone. And immediately after like 3 or 4, we're like, we're going to have to wait for people to go by because these are going everywhere.
Yeah, couldn't predict where they were going to go. It was a bit of a mad day.
It was but insane.
On that day, like, there were certain shots where I'd feel the gust of wind as I was lining up. And I was like, right, I've got to throw over to the right because the wind's going to grab this and pull it over to the left.
Yeah.
And then you'd let go and no wind.
And no wind. Yeah. And I had that on multiple putts where I was like, I hit the top of the rim. I was like, how? Like the wind? No bloody wind. That's annoying. Ugh. so fun and frustrating. Yeah, mental game. I think it's quite key.
Yeah, dogs are also part of the mental game. See a dog running around. Ever since I hit that other dog, like, I see a dog running around, I don't like it. I'm like, what are you going to do? Even though you're miles over there right now, when I let go of this disc,
what are you
going
to do?
How fast are you going to run into the line of fire?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah. Like, speaking of line of fire...
I think I see him. Wait for my mark. Target acquired.
Wee, yes. Fun new segment. I haven't hit anyone yet this season.
Yeah, not for lack of trying.
Not for lack of trying, though. I almost hit a few.
They ran into it.
You, Ben is now on the scoreboard.
Oh, yeah, that woman.
Yep.
She ran into it.
So, Ben, do you want me to explain it, or do you want to explain it? Because I feel like...
See it.
So
really
you didn't really see it. So you threw a drive where the wind screwed you on this hole, and it screwed your disc up, and it immediately just went target acquired, and it predator, like, you know, is it a predator strike or is it a drone strike, whatever they do for like Call of Duty when it like precision strike, when it's like, and then it like goes down. Yeah. Your disc did that to a woman who ran into it and it hit her in the arm, and we were all like, I was trying not to laugh, but I felt really bad. You immediately went up and just apologized. She was like, it was okay, don't worry about it. But then when she was walking back, all I saw, she was like, it's fine. There was a line on her arm where it hit, and I was like, holy shit, she's not going to be fine in a couple of hours.
Just to clarify, we didn't just let her say she's fine and walk away. Like, we actually
stopped her.
And said,
everything.
Are you sure you're okay?
Because, it was a like... good five minute talk of like, are you sure you're okay? Because no.
If that had been an intention, if that had been going in that direction from my throw.
You threw it to I. Not intentionally.
No,
threw it to
I, and the wind picked it up and just went.
If that had been a throw that I'd thrown in that direction, though, and not the wind, she would not have been okay.
Oh no, yeah. Not at all. Yeah.
That thing is rock hard.
Yep. But you're 1-0 up on the scoreboard, mate.
Yeah, but you'll catch up.
Yeah, 100%.
End up smashing me soon.
Rich almost.
Is this a claim we're going to have to make a call about?
No, this was the one where he almost hit a guy in the square in the back. Can you remember when we were yelling for?
Yeah.
We were yelling four, and everyone else was getting out of the way and saw it coming.
That was you.
No, it was him. Yeah, it was Rich.
It was a guy that was like this wandering down the road, and Lee was literally
screaming four. Everyone else turned around and saw it. He was the only guy. If he was like a meter over, that would have square on hit him in the back. And then he turned around and put his arms up, and then all I had to do was, we yelled four, and that's it. That's all we can do. And all the other like guys who were behind him were laughing their heads off because they were like, that's hilarious.
We're making it sound like we put a lot of people in danger.
But we don't.
But we really don't.
We don't. Like, it's just that was around where it was.
We throw loads of discs near people.
Other than Lee, most of us
are safe. It's just the beginning of the season. You're getting all this bad mojo out, and it's just going to be fine after this. It's plain sailing after this. Fingers crossed. But it happens, like in disc golf.
But both instances we spoke about misjudging the wind.
Hell yeah. The wind took that one.
That was the
forced
same, day,
it.
Same round.
It
same
was.
Round,
yeah. The wind forced Rich's drive right mad as well. Because normally he gets a good swing on it. And it just went, no, wind's going to take this. As soon as it started going that way.
It shows it's the wind because typically on that hole, Richard always finishes up to the right.
Yeah.
And actually that disc finished to the left.
Yeah, that's
typically
true.
So
the old
way Ben through.
Oh, it's finished to the left.
It was finished to the left, and it ended up...
Ended up right, yeah.
Ended up so right.
Yeah. That was just mad. It was a mad... Weather, like,
I don't think I've ever seen
insane.
You throw out of bounds on that shot.
It's because my discs don't go that way.
Yeah.
Because of my left-handed throw, they don't go that way.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's why it was so alien to me, because they just don't go... They've never gone that way. None of the discs in my
it's
bag
true.
Go that way.
Because you grip-locked it and, like, mortared it, and we were like, oh, it's going to be fine. And then the wind took it, and it just immediately went like, oh, no, this is potential.
It just came down real quick.
Yeah, really. The wind threw that down.
And it was like that scene in between us as well, not because of the woman involved, but do you know when something was in the air and you're like, you can just see the trajectory. See the line it was taking.
It was. She was.
Like,
it was in
for a good like 2-3 seconds. We all knew it was going to hit her.
We told her to stop and move. Just get out of the way, and she ran into it.
She just kept running.
And she didn't have headphones on, so she did hear us. It was just unfortunate.
She was just chancing it.
She just chanced it with a disc. I wouldn't.
Yeah, but was it not the lot?
I think.
Not sure what it was. I think it was a leopard. It was a blue disc, I think.
If it was a blue disc, it was a cheater then. Cheater.
Man, that would have hurt.
Yeah, DX plastic as well. Yeah, now DX plastic hurts. Definitely hurts. Yeah, okay. All right.
Beginner tip.
What we got?
We got Lee's one. I asked Lee, we was doing the new course, did the course review, and I said to Lee, oh, what do you think the beginner tip should be? And Lee went, I want to talk about shaping shots. So he's going to talk about shaping shots.
All right. So I feel like when we talk about shaping shots, it comes down to also learning your discs as well. So obviously I bought the harpoon when
Have learning your discs. That's a previous beginner tip.
Okay, sorry.
Shaping your shots. You better not just rename something we spoke about before.
So shaping your shots. You know what a disc does and you know how it flies. Go out, practice shaping your shots around stuff or throw it out wide. You know it's going to come back in. This is going to go straight, get it straight. But when I mean shaping shots, it's like, I know this disc goes hella right and finishes really left, kind of like the Raptor, for example. Like, the discs I know that can come back is the Mamba. If I throw it left on a bit of hyzer or anhyzer or whatever the angle it is, it's supposed to come back in and finish right. So it's just shaping your shots and knowing what your disc is supposed to do and just going out and shaping them. Like, I think I can definitely say I've got my Harpoon and my Raptor down of throwing it super right and it comes back left. And then I know when I've messed it up because I'll either release it earlier, like, guys, I've screwed that because I know it's going to cut in super hard and it's just going to be not ideal.
And I think having that disc in your bag or one or two discs in your bag that you can really shape shots is quite important. You kind of know that when I pull the glory out that something unusual is about to happen.
Yep, 100%.
Like, I'm either going to try and go like a U-bend or I'm going to like try and get cut in and then come back out and we've all got them discs that we can
and I feel like it's all, like, dedicate a disc in your bag that you want to learn to shape a certain kind of shot would be ideal as well. Like, I have the Cax in there as my utility disc. That's a great little cheeky forehand or scuba or whatever. I do, I like that disc to do that and it gets me out of so much trouble, but I've been that's taken a while to understand how that can go. I think
rolling
it's just
learning.
Rolling Hellfires. Yeah. Or just rolling anything. Like Bergmasters. Go watch that, guys. We're going to keep promoting that. No one says Bergs can be rolled. I think he proved people wrong in that video, dude.
I was going to, until I remembered about the river, I was going to put the Berg in as my disc of the week, but purely on its rolling capability.
It rolls.
Because it does roll.
It's true.
Yeah, it is true.
It is true.
It does a different kind of roll. It's...
And this is it, with you and your shaping shots, most of them are rolls.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of know which disc is going to roll straight, which one's going to roll to the right, which one's going to roll to the left.
I can, yeah.
You also throw some discs that are just going to roll wherever they roll.
Yeah.
But that's you getting used to discs. Like, the discs that you know, like the Hellfire or the Berg, you know where they're going to roll and how they're going to roll.
Berg's becoming a really decent roller.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, so that's I would say, our beginner tip. Get a few discs. Understand that. Obviously, we always say numbers.
What I find with my shaping disc, though, because like, obviously, like the glory, for example.
Okay.
I watch other people throw the glory, and they throw it very, very different to me. They tend to fairway drive with it and stuff, and I use it as quite a much slower disc, and I use it to shape because I like the shapes I can get out of it.
Mm.
But if I throw it backhand, I'll get an amazing big curve.
Yeah.
Like I explained earlier. Throw it forehand, it goes straight and I can't get that curve on it forehand.
Interesting.
And obviously if you throw it how it's meant to be thrown, it does do the opposite forehand backhand.
Yeah.
Because I'm throwing it different with less power and actually using it to get them very specific shapes for about 40-50 metres from the pin.
100%.
It actually travels very different backhand and forehand. Well, I've also got the Beetle now. And as much as I've ragged on the Beetle before, go back to a previous episode where Beetle was a disc of my week for how it was.
Yeah.
It's become my scrambler.
It has become your scrambler.
Mainly because I just throw it up in the air and it'll take care of the rest.
Yeah.
It's
true.
But I've been pissing around with it in the back garden. I don't. It's not really a disc that I would bring out. I'd never bring out in a tournament. It's not quite ready to bring out with his boys yet. But I've been pissing around with like stupid putts.
Okay.
And I think that could be a real shaping shot disc.
That's interesting because I feel like if I lost the Cax, I would just get another Cax because I know that'll be my scrambling disc because I just got that down and then I'll have to, you know, figure that out again because it is not all discs are the same, even though they say they do. It isn't. Like, it's interesting.
Mm. Well, leading us on to the final subject of the evening.
The Expendables.
The Expendables.
Those guys.
So...
That group of old ragtag action heroes.
So thinking about your current bag, and not just your current bag that you're throwing, not like your current bag that you tend to take out week in, week out.
Yeah.
What discs have you got that if you threw into a river, you wouldn't really give a shit about?
A lot of them.
At least you're honest, bro.
Go on, give me some.
Most of them.
Most of them.
There's only a few other plays.
We'll come back to Ben. Ben can answer the second question. What about you, Lee?
I'd be sad if the Maestro, but I don't mind if the Maestro goes now because I've kind of got some. Yeah, okay. Maestro. Maybe the Vandal? Yeah. Yeah, probably they're the two I don't mind if they went out my bag. Yeah, those two. Because I'm kind of attached to the others. Like, even though I'd keep joking about my up and down relationship with an MD3, like, I would be upset about that disc, but then I would just go and buy another one. So it's kind of like, I haven't had any memories with it. I think the worst one, if we were going to lose one that was really, really sad, would probably be my...
Can we come back to that?
Yeah, okay, cool. I'm not going to do
so
it.
So we're talking about the Expendables.
Disc. Yeah, those two. I'd say that. Maybe no, yeah, just those two for sure.
See, I struggle when I thought about my bag. I quite like my current bag.
Yeah.
If the Beetle went in the river, I think I'd be more sad than myself as to question why the f*** was I throwing a Beetle near a river.
And also, my thing is, I don't think it would sink. I think it would float because it's so.
Bounce off the water.
It would bounce off the water and just float there, bro.
Mate.
Yeah.
Enough of a wave, and it throw it back onto the shore. Like...
Fair.
Duck lands and it ripples.
That's so true. Oh my days.
I don't think I'd care if I mean I've took the lots out of my bag, but I don't think I'd care if I lost the lots of them in it.
Okay.
I think the one that I was really I have in my bag and I do like to throw it every now and then. And it pisses me off because it's an expensive disc, but I think if the Onyx or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
They think if that set on fire, I wouldn't really care too much.
Okay. All right.
So what disc would you really give a shit about?
Yeah, because Ben, you said like a lot, haven't you?
What disc are the Unexpendables?
The Leopard.
It's younger brother. It's younger brother, I'm pretty positive you would be.
The Cheetah will be in there. The Bergs. The Lots. I'm struggling now. my putters are so interchangeable that I just... would get another one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. At the minute, none of them really are like go-to putters. The Toro is very good for what it does. The Archer is on a stay list.
Yeah, I feel like if you went
like,
for a bag.
There's a few but discs.
If the Archer went in, I know you like the Archer. If the Archer went in the river,
I'd get an Archer.
You'd
just get another
Archer.
One.
Yeah. Okay. Hellfire, I'd get another Hellfire. Lots, I'd get another Lots. Leopard, I'd get another Lots. Leopard. The Cax, I'd get another Cax. But a lot of Cheetah, I could just get another. I've got a lot of speed sixes.
Yeah.
I'd consider another Cheetah, but maybe not. I'm of a different mindset at the minute, which is if something does disappear, I'm going to get something different.
Yeah.
Fair.
So unless it's like in the 10, there's probably 10.
Yeah.
Unless it's in the 10, it will become something new.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rather than...
Yeah.
What like there's set discs that will always be replaced if something was to happen.
Yeah.
Other than that, I can't name them all because I've not got the bag in front of me, but I know what they are. But I know what they are when if I sat and looked at them all, I'd be like, well, that's one. But a lot of them, the idea is I'll swap out and bring in some new stuff.
Yeah.
possibly some new brands rather than new discs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the brand equivalent, a new brand equivalent of that is my new thought process.
Yeah.
Fair.
So similar numbers, but from somebody else.
Yeah, I'm with you with that. Like, if I lost the zombie, for example, I'd be gutted, but I'd probably bring something in of similar numbers.
Latitude in of us, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
For me, the River, the Construct, the Banger.
Start off quick and then faded.
100% the River, 100% the Construct.
Two cheat code discs.
100% the Banger. I'm with you all the way on the Berg.
But then to me, it's like, if we lose a Berg, we'll just buy another one because we rate the Berg on this channel.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. These are the discs that if I lost and I couldn't find, I'd buy on the way home.
Fair, okay.
No,
you'd order another one on your way back to the car.
Yeah, 100%. I would not be able to play the following week unless that this was being these discs were being replaced.
Okay.
And I think my fifth one. See, I used to say the Saint, but I think if I lost the Saint now, I don't use it as enough.
Yeah,
for
you
me
wouldn't
to
care.
Justify it.
Okay.
I don't know. I think them four for definite, and unless one pops into my head that I'm not thinking about.
Okay.
If I had to pick one that I would absolutely replace, it's the Archer.
Fair. Okay.
Yeah, mine would probably be the River. Or the Valkyrie is my fifth. But River and Valkyrie, I rely heavily on them.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Construct and the Valkyrie.
I love
that. The
Archer
is such a specific range.
Yeah.
Straight approach that's been real close a lot of times. Because it is that. It does what I need it to when it's in that range. It only comes out at very specific periods, but when it does come out, it does a very specific job consistently.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not sure that there's anything else that could do what that... Any of my other mid-ranges can do what the Archer does as consistently as the Archer does it.
Yeah, you see where I've got the Truth that's a very similar range and very similar kind of like this for me, the Buzz could come back out.
That's what
like,
I mean.
I've got some and the Zombie could also fill that slot. Like, if I lost that disc, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
For me, it is.
Yeah.
But it's not always needed. But in that specific position, I'm only reaching for one thing.
Yeah.
Connie, can you name five discs that you can't live without?
Roadrunner, Rockstar, MD3, Sensei, Praxis, but that's more for sentimental reasons. And
that was five anyway.
It was five, and then I would probably say FD. I really love my FD3. I think FD.
No mention of the Berg.
Well, the thing is, I think with the Berg, you know what you're buying. You're buying a lead paperweight, and I'm fine with owning two Bergs now. One that's soft and rubbery, and one that's my firm driver, which I'm very happy with. Like, if I lose them, that's sad. But I know for a fact that I'll immediately do what you do, Dan, and go, right, I've lost a Berg. Got to go get another one. Got to get another one because it's an auto-include.
I've got two Bergs, and if I lost either of them, I'd replace it.
Would you?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Bergs.
I'm contemplating a second Berg.
You should.
I've got my bin lid one. Is it K3? The bin lid one that I have?
Those are both K3.
Mine's really gummy, though. I've got one that's really gummy.
K1, though.
No, it's not a K1. I've got a really gummy one.
You want a K1?
Mine's K3 glow in the dark, ain't it?
Yeah.
So I got one like Dan because I was like, I want a hard one.
K1 wobbly sausage and K1
less wobbly sausage.
Wobbly sausage! Yeah, those five I'd be good about.
Wobbly sausage.
I think the one I would definitely say I would definitely get again would be a Rockstar. But I already have one in Glow, so I wouldn't go out and immediately go, I need to buy another Rockstar, because I've got a Glow Rockstar for when we do a Glow round eventually. Like, I can
have
just start from that.
Testing on that compared to the other Rockstar?
Yeah, and they
are they the same?
Yeah, it's scary, because I was like, I was expecting a horror show after the Maestro and Maestro Premium. I was really like ready for a horror show. They're very similar. Obviously, one's really well beaten in and the other one isn't. So the one that's not beaten in has a similar flight path, but it fades a bit quicker than the other one. But I'm fine with that. I'm very fine with it. I do rate the Rockstar. So
last questions.
Okay.
Don't So discounting distance. So don't worry about how far it takes to travel to courses and stuff like that. Let's just pretend that all these courses are on our doorstep and we can go and play them anytime we want.
Okay.
If you had to lose one course that you've played, what course would that be?
Oh, no.
Well, I know what your answer's going to be.
Oh, I know what yours
the
is, yeah.
I thought about this question, I was like, oh, I know exactly what Ben's going
to
say.
We love this course. If you listen to our podcast...
If I never had to play Gillies again, I wouldn't care.
Yeah, we love Gillies. Ben just really hates Gillies.
Don't even hate it. Well, I just do hate it.
I think what's that song? Hate is a strong word. You just really, really, really don't like Gillies.
Gillies. But I do, because it's just f***ing so hard.
It's so hard.
It's so hard.
It's the hardest course.
It's a good course.
Someone referring to Gillies as cricket rather than disc golf always resonate with me.
Yeah. So I think I've got an easy answer.
What's yours?
That stupid one we paid a fortune for.
The £8 one, yeah, I'm with you. Where Ben had his unofficial ace. Yeah. That, I'm thinking that one.
You played the same holes twice and it was like an arm's reach to the basket.
And it was like, just bring your putters because it's going to be fun. Not. Yeah.
Pay for it, and it was all uphill.
And it was all uphill.
You were going to get to bits where you threw it downhill, but you didn't. It was just all uphill.
There was one bit where it looked like it was downhill. Yeah.
So, one course that if there was only one course left in Britain, you would keep.
I know.
Quite a pot.
See, mine's different. Mine's fairways. I really liked fairways.
I really
liked
fairways.
I really want to go back there with a camera. I really enjoyed our trip. Like, fairways was
not closing.
There's a petition saying don't close it.
Really?
Yeah, it's closing.
No, have you not signed that?
No.
Mate,
why do I sound like a Scooby? Like, what? What was that?
Anybody that's listening that actually likes disc golf, get on the fairways petition.
I'm gonna send
Lee the link before the end of the night. So
I'll put it in the description and also the link in the podcast on Podbean as well. Right. Yeah. So what's the deal? Like, is it just they can't get funding or
can't afford it?
Shut up.
See, I'm a big fan of fairways. I'm a big fan of Quarry Park. But I think, I genuinely think the course that I really, really like. And it's not in a big course.
I know what you're going to say.
Sherwood Pines.
Yeah, I knew he was going to say Sherwood Pines.
I love Sherwood Pines.
Sherwood Pines is
also
great.
Also, what would we do if we lost Bedworth?
I think we are going to lose Bedworth, mate. So we're going to have to face that reality.
Yeah, we might. We might be losing the whole... Yeah. Willy Wonka. I hope they move the baskets around.
I
think they should.
I think that we... But that's another conversation. That's a conversation away from the podcast, because I've got an idea, but we need to know who to speak to.
Speak to on the... Yeah. Because I feel like you could easily sort it out.
Yeah.
Mr. Gauss, you listen to our podcast. We need to talk to you and some other people, maybe. Because we love Bedworth. I think Bedworth is really good. It's just a shame that if we are going to lose a few of the holes there, it's just going to be really sad pandas.
So, I didn't actually have it before we go today, but
I've
just thought of one.
So okay.
Before we go,
right,
find out about your local disc golf community.
Yes.
Even if you're not a player, find them, support them, find out what petitions they need signing to keep this community
going.
Save our baskets. Oh, thank you all, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, guys, it's been a good episode. It's good to be back. Obviously, we try and do one every 2 weeks, but life happens. We always keep quoting Jurassic Park. Life, or it finds a way. That's pretty much it. So yeah, guys, if you've enjoyed this, please leave a like. A like is much appreciated. Subscribe.
Either your life is or someone else's.
Yeah, it's just life's a bag of, life's a box of chocolates. There we go, like Forrest Gump. But yeah, if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a like, comment below, tell us your thoughts, share, all that fun stuff. If you're listening to us on Podbean, that'd be amazing if you download us and also follow us, that'd be sick. And until next time, guys, take care, have a good one, and we'll see you for more Disc Heads in the not-too-distant future.